a brick house on Holly Hills Boulevard in St. Louis, and a large sweet gum tree towering above it. Towering above the stone porch, above the green Spanish-style tiles that cover the home's roof. The limbs of this tree bustle about during the high winds that signal tornado season. And on still days, in summer, a boy and his younger sister play inside a ring of bushes surrounding the tree's base. This is their spaceship. The ring of bushes is their cockpit, and secured inside this cockpit, they fly their craft, using some branches as switches and other branches as control sticks by which to navigate. He is Tim, she is Teresa. But on these voyages into outer space, they travel under assumed names. He is Bob, she is Pete. She prefers her brown hair short and a little ragged, demands scissors from her parents so she can do it herself. Later, she keeps the style, but adds a few blonde highlights, an effect that echoes her eyes, which are hazel with brown flecks. People will mention a sense of sparkle, and it may trace to the flecks or to the smile, contagious, confident, a smile consonant with the air of invincibility carried on her short, solid frame, a smile that easily and often cracks into a body-shaking laugh. It is a laugh to be imitated, and many of her closest people try. The women on her softball team who come to call her T-Buzz. The friends who come to call her T. The family members who, out of love and exasperation, come up with all manner of name shortenings, dropping letters and syllables to more easily race back into the thick of conversation with her, saying, "Hey, Reese, but Treese. Come on, Reese." The laugh begins as a kind of chipmunk giggle, and then her head starts nodding up and down, and then the clapping, loud cracks that can be identified from way off as hers. If the laughter becomes more intense, a sort of convulsion follows, head thrown back, shoulders thrown back, everything quaking. Like she's trying to exorcise the giggle, a friend will say. Then she reaches out, grabs the booth, if there's a booth, and with Teresa, there is often a booth. Or she starts pummeling the people next to her, hard. Everyone gets a turn. Longtime friends, wise to what's coming, place newbies next to her for buffer. Toward the end of the laughing fits, tears, then more clapping. Her full name, Teresa Ann Butts, is given to her October 19th, 1969, when she arrives the ninth of 11 children in a loud Irish-German Catholic family in South St. Louis. Her mother, Elaine Dolly Butts, traces roots back many generations in Missouri, which is how Dolly learned to say it from her grandparents, who were farmers. Dolly grew up down near the St. Louis rail yard, not far from the Mississippi River, close to the Anheuser-Busch Brewery and a burlap bag factory. And hers was a musical household, with Dolly's mother playing the upright piano, her father playing banjo, guitar, and piano too, everyone singing all the time. The family of the man she married, Dolly will say frankly, is not musical at all. Dolly's husband, Norbert Butts Sr., would agree. He grew up a few blocks from Dolly, the two of them first dating when he was 16 and she was 14. Norbert Sr. drawn to the songs pouring out of the living room in Dolly's house on South 10th Street. The opposite of songs pouring out of a living room, that was his home. Norbert Sr.'s father was an immigrant baker with only one good eye, the other damaged by a branch while he was climbing a pine tree in his youth. He'd left Germany as a teenager, fleeing his own father, who refused to get him medical care for the scratched eye, who once horsewhipped one of his daughters for talking to a boy in the middle of town in the middle of the afternoon. Having fled home, Norbert Sr.'s father, in America, fled fatherhood. As a consequence, Norbert Sr.'s mother raised him and his older sister on $15 a week child support, which it was Norbert Sr.'s job to collect at the bar his father frequented, plus earnings from her work in sweatshops along Washington Avenue, plus a little money from newspapers the whole family sold on weekends. In college in St. Louis, Norbert Sr. walks up to a military recruiter and says, "You get me out of this town in 2 weeks, and I'm yours for life." The Marines take him to post-war Korea, then onward to jobs guarding military brigs in Japan and San Diego. In 1957, he returns home and asks Dolly to marry him. "I was in my dress blues looking good," Norbert Sr. says, so she could hardly say no. He comes to run a small insurance company in South St. Louis. Dolly runs the household. Every Sunday, no negotiation allowed, the Butts children and their parents, along with just about all the other families in their neighborhood, head for the nearby St. Stephen Protomartyr Catholic Church. Norbert and Dolly are adherents to the church's ban on contraception and have had 9 of their 11 children between the years of 1959 and 1969. "Bang, bang, 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 bang," is how Tim Butts, their 8th, describes it. Teresa comes right after Tim, and she surprises and pleases Dolly, who's just had 6 boys in a row. After Teresa, a 7-year hiatus in Butts' offspring. It means she's the baby of the family for some time, and it proves retrospectively mystifying to Tim, who never hears a reason for the hiatus.